again with probably the last one for 2023, and I'm super excited for 2024. Going out though of 2023, I had the opportunity, of course, to reflect on what was a crazy year. There's been so much that's happened to me this year, for me this year, and it's been crazy. Even like the podcast itself, like more people have found it, despite me not putting out as many. And I think one of the things I'm noticing now is also like the kind of stuff that people want to listen to, even separate from the stuff people are asking me to listen to, asking me to make. So I'll probably lean into what more people are looking for. And for context here, I was looking at some of the analytics of this. Obviously, as you know, Spotify does their Wrapped thing. So a lot of it was around like finance stuff, getting their life in order kind of thing, you know, structuring career choices and stuff like that. So I'll probably lean more into finance because I think that's the one that does the best in terms of like people wanting to listen to it and asking questions. So I'll probably lean more into that for 2024. So that's kind of probably what I'll do a little bit more of, but I'll still do all the other stuff that just like give it a more well-rounded experience, because I think some of those are still helpful for those people who definitely listen to the podcast. So that's kind of that balance. So that's just number one thing I want to get out the way. In terms of like other things that like I just thought about this year, like I thought about even just what happened to me in general this year, right? Like I started off the year living in the Bay Area. I had just come home from Lagos. And at the time, one of my friends was doing a birthday party in Toronto. So I went to see him and stuff. And so by the time I left, I already knew I was going to move away from the Bay Area. In the process of that, you know, some lows obviously came across. So in trying to move away from the Bay Area, and I was still trying, almost like iffy, because as much as I loved the experience working in tech in the West, I didn't like the experience that much of living in the West. And so I was still like, okay, maybe I just need to find somewhere else in the West to make it work for me. Maybe I'll move to like a, you know, LA and stuff. But before I even get to that decision, my house got broken into. So as you can imagine, that just, I think at that point I was just like, yep, I'm done with the West. Now again, at the time, I think it was just one of those things where I just needed space from it. It's not fun having a house broken into. So, you know, I think I just needed space from everything else. And I think just not having the community I would love to have around me was difficult at the time. So that was kind of step one. So I moved from, you know, the Bay Area to Atlanta. And of course, I've talked about it in the episode. I'm going to do that again in, you know, episodes past. And then in the process of that, I got a new job from Meta, because I was at Meta at the time. And so Reddit came calling my team. I was worried about being laid off and, you know, da, 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 da. And I joined Reddit in the move. So I moved out east this time, moved to Atlanta. And, you know, while I was in Atlanta, then I got laid off, which sucked immensely, of course. So we've gone from the high of, you know, I've moved, what's a new job, you know, I'm settling in, I'm doing okay, and I got laid off. And then after that, I got terribly sick, of course. And that too was its own experience, to know what it's like for my body to betray me, essentially, you know, just out of nowhere. And to have all that happen, and in the process also, I sold one of my houses as well. And so there was just all that was happening. At the same time, I got a class I could teach at Queen's University, which was super cool. So, you know, being an adjunct professor was also really nice. I think I got, at the end of this year, I also got like offered, not really a second class, but kind of a second experience I need to teach as well. So in a way, I have two classes I'm teaching now. And I also need to prepare for that properly. And even adjusting to all that as, you know, a faculty member, it almost feels kind of weird, but you know, we're doing it. You know, you have to do stuff scared, doing it. Like, I don't even know if I know what I'm doing, but it seems to resonate. It seems to be helpful and people seem to love it. So I think I'm on the right track. So there's that, you know, things I'm thankful for. You know, I helped my brother come to Canada. So I really kissed my brother. So that was also something I was super proud of. And, you know, he lives in Toronto now, going to school and stuff. So that was super exciting. And then, you know, like I was saying, I was going to do a financial slant. I made the most money this year while working for the least amount of time. So it's kind of wild to me, right? Like I essentially stopped working essentially as of September, right? And so that's 4 months of not having like full-time work. And I still made more money than all the other years I've had in terms of like individual years. So I start to think about like going into 2024, maybe I lean more into that where it's like, it's not really about just like working super hard and super long and like, you know, 9-to-5 stuff completely. Like I did a lot of that, of course, right? And of course, it does help when you're working for some of the bigger tech companies in the world, right? So when you're going from Meta to Reddit, it does help in some way. But I feel like if I can find some of the like commonalities across them, like, you know, even the kind of work I was doing, the type of stuff I put myself in for, you know, some of the stuff I was teaching at, I think if I lean more into some of those things, it'll probably help a little bit more, right? Like teaching by itself was a very exciting endeavor. I didn't feel the stress, quote unquote, of work. And so even as like an area I can lean into, figuring out how like straightforward it is working for universities and the kind of pay they make, even as a contract experience, was super helpful. So I'm going to lean more into that a little bit. And I'll probably just like talk about how to structure all that and, you know, things to expect maybe in the future. And then while I was doing all that, I essentially became like cross-border. So like while I was sick, I had to be in Toronto a lot. While I was moving, my brother had to be in Toronto as well, just to make sure he's okay. And even like I said, at the beginning of the year, I came to visit my friend who was having a birthday. So like in a way, I was almost like living in two countries at the same time. And it is now also like inspiring me to think about like what country pairs better in terms of like a two country style of living. Because if you think about it, right, and again, this is just me spitballing so you understand how I'm thinking about going to 2024. If you live in Canada and you really don't like the cold like I do, one of the options is you're only around enough that SAD doesn't essentially knock you out. So you're around enough that you're around, but you have a secondary location that keeps you warm enough that SAD can't like affect your life, right? And I remember that was my initial plan before the US became a thing. But now that I've done the Canada-US thing, I can see how that works a little better, right? Even in this December, I went to Mexico for like a week. Again, similarly, Mexico was really, really warm, and now I've come back to Canada, and obviously SAD is really kicking my ass. But I start to think about, okay, if I know that, for example, I'm going to go somewhere warm in 2 weeks, can I survive my SAD for 2 weeks enough to still be fine and get out for as long as I need? You know, so that two country style, I'm also going to look into that a little bit. And of course, like working remote, how will you structure it? What will you say you're based out of? Do you get paid, for example, on the Canadian side or on the secondary country side? So things like that, I think I'm going to look more into. Even in from an investment perspective as well, right? Like diversifying away from Canadian real estate because of like the interest rates just being really crazy right now. I think, you know, when I last looked back at some of the variables that were available, it was like 7%. Which is just wild. Some places have gone down to like 6 or whatever. Some, if you're really lucky, you can find 5. But if you're finding 5, please send me a text because I need to talk to your broker, right? So these are some of the things that they're just like, you look at and you're like, okay, what are the other options? I look at, for example, like the S&P 500 has done 20% this year, right? Like I was looking at it just before this podcast on Questrade, where there was a specific like ETF I was looking at. I was like, wow, if I was going to do 20%, I essentially picked the wrong bet going into Canadian, Canada's like high dividend situation. Cause I took a bet essentially, I put money behind like Canada's high yield ETF, top Canadian companies versus America's. And then obviously on the American side, I invested in, you know, America's S&P 500 and it just outperformed Canada like you won't believe. So at this point, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to diversify out of Canadian real estate and out of Canadian companies. I also invest in Canada, but in American companies. I'll talk about that in a future episode so you understand what I'm talking about in a better sense if you don't know what I mean in terms of ETFs, in terms of investing in Canadian real estate, in terms of investing in Canadian top performing companies. I'll explain all that in future podcasts to come. But for now, that is just like a secondary thing to think about. And of course, you know, the key bits that I think I will also do in this podcast that like I've really been looking forward to doing until unfortunately I got knocked out was bringing other people to hear their perspective on things. I know this podcast is based and centered around my thoughts and thinking and just like, you know, when some of my friends ask me questions and I don't want to repeat myself because I know I'm going to get it multiple times, I put this in the podcast. But I'm also recognizing that it'd be helpful to get a secondary perspective that is outside my own that can also bring a certain balance into the podcast. Again, I'm not sure fully if it's going to be on a recurring basis where like, for example, I get like a secondary that's there all the time, you know, even if it's still like, you know, me primarily and they're just there secondarily. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it as a co-host style where it's almost like two of us have a podcast. And I'm not sure if it's going to be just like guest style, but I'm looking out for, you know, certain podcasts that have you know, different styles I want to see. For example, you know, I've checked out Trevor Noah's style. His, you know, is mostly him, and then he's not really a great like journalistic interviewer, but they try to like almost like have banter a little bit. So I'll check a couple of others as well, just to see what I like and what I'll probably want to do with this podcast going forward into 2024. Of course, if I find that it's just better to keep doing what I'm doing, then of course I'll do some of this as well. My hope is to get everybody's dream out, so you understand and see how like other people are living their life. Because, you know, living the traditional life where you just like do a job for however long and figure out life however long in terms of just like, well, I'm just going to invest and wait or buy a house and wait. I think that's helpful, but I think people need to see other perspectives as well. And then, of course, over time, we'll see what happens with the podcast. Again, it's just for fun and vibes, especially for my friends who are looking to figure out this Canadian thing or the American side of things. So there's that. The other bit I want to talk about quickly before, you know, I start thinking about ending this podcast, there is a youth mobility visa program that Canada has with multiple countries. And unfortunately, Canada doesn't do a great job of highlighting that program that it has. Essentially, if you're a Canadian citizen, again, I'm going to talk about this from a North America perspective and a Europe perspective. If you remember when I talked about earlier with the TN visa situation, as a Canadian, you can just get a job and go to essentially USA or Mexico, right? If you want to go to any of them and you just want to live there for a short time or even a long time, that program exists. Canada actually has that style of program with multiple countries, as long as you're 18 to, I believe, 35 in some cases. And in some scenarios, it's 18 to 30. And it is across multiple countries. In terms of, I'm talking about Europe, I'm talking about Japan and Asia, I'm talking about like Australia as well. And that youth mobility visa situation, I'm actually looking into it now, just so I understand the full extent of what that looks like from a Canadian perspective. I've already looked into, for example, the France one. The visa is free, like completely free as a Canadian citizen. So if you ever really want to go live in, you know, France for a little bit, just to check it out, you can actually do that easily. And when I say easily, I mean easily. Just go on the website, I believe it's canada.ca, and it's like immigration, some. Anyway, just Google it, youth mobility visa. It'll show you a bunch of countries that Canada has bilateral agreements with, and you can just go there for a little bit and then come back. Really simply, I think it's a working holiday visa, I think is what it's called. And essentially, you just need to show you have a certain amount of money. You're a Canadian citizen, you pay for, you know, like a surcharge for like health insurance. I think in some scenarios it's gonna be like $1,000 or something that simple. You go there and you live there for like a year or two. And because of that working visa, you can find a job on the other side, and the country will just let you work. So you don't even have to worry about like, oh, a company has to sponsor you to come. Just because you're a young professional and you want to get international experience, you can just get up and go. And this is like multiple countries too. It's like the United Kingdom, it's France, it's Greece, it's Australia in there. I believe Belgium is there as well. Croatia is there, the Netherlands is there, New Zealand is there, Portugal. Like it goes on and on and on. And I don't know why, like even as Canadians, we don't know this. Now, again, a lot of things as Canadians, we don't know. But when you're a new immigrant joining the Canadian fabric, usually you find out about these things one way or the other, right? Like Canada will find a way to tell you about some of these programs, right? Especially when they're telling you about your rights, your, you know, the charter thingies, another stuff you have to read for your, what's it called? For your immigration test. No mention of all these things that Canada has. And it's just like, what? So certainly if you're looking for, you know, international experience, go for it. So I'm just going to read out, because I just, while I was talking, I found the list of countries that are on it. So it's Andorra, okay, it's in Europe, it's Australia, Austria, Belgium, Chile, Costa Rica, Croatia, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, France, Germany, Greece, Hong Kong, separate from China, I guess, Hong Kong, Ireland, Italy, Japan, South Korea, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Poland, Portugal, San Marino, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, Taiwan, and United Kingdom. So on a pretty extensive list of countries, you just go into the website. It's actually just to help everyone out. Canada.ca/EN/, well, again, you can do FR if you like French. Immigration, Refugees, Citizenship, Services, Canadians, International Experience, Canada.html. A very long URL, but literally all you have to do is just Google Youth Mobility Visa Canada or something like that. And one of these links will show up. And it's Canada Canada.ca website, immigration and citizenship, immigration and citizenship for Canadian citizens. The title is Work and Travel Abroad with International Experience Canada. That's, once you see that, you'll see a thing that says, where do you want to go? And you can just pick the country you want to go check out. For the most part, as long as you're 18 to 30 and a Canadian citizen, there's probably a program that will get you there. You just have to show you have enough money to essentially get yourself there and sustain yourself for a little bit. Different countries, of course, have their own unique rules and unique costs of their visa. But again, these are some of the things for you to consider. So if you're thinking about that, you know, secondary country thing, or if you just want to try somewhere else, like I have, having tried the US. So it's significantly more than just the US and Mexico that you're open to as a Canadian to move to and just try out stuff. I know one of my friends who's moved to France, and I also know someone on Twitter who just recently moved to Spain. So with that program as well. So keep those things in mind as a Canadian, as an option. So again, like I keep telling people, the hack is to become Canadian first, and then you have the right to just get up and go a bunch of places. Of course, we'll talk about the money side of things as we go along with this podcast. We'll talk about strategizing for multiple countries as we go along with the podcast. And maybe we'll talk about as well, like what it's like to be like a digital nomad and live in multiple places and on and on and on like that. What is the tax implication of that? Because I know I talked about that, and that was my most popular episode this year, actually. So I'll talk about a lot more of that. So structuring your finances, structuring how you get paid, on and on and on like that. So we're looking forward to that in 2024. It'll be super exciting, super fun. And I hope to catch you in the next one. Till then, see you in 2024. Happy New Year. Peace.